So that's it. That's everything from last, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and this two-part episode with Lars Gundersen. He's a great friend of mine. He's now back in Utah, so we'll have to catch up again one day to see if he's back on his travels, if he's doing something with his hands. Maybe he'll get involved with politics or something similar. Who knows? It would be great if you could leave us an honest review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening, and maybe share this with someone who you think might benefit more than you or as much as you. I love somebody who is maybe not too sure about traveling or the long bus journeys or whatever in life, just to hear different people's opinions of what happens when you go backpacking, when you meet different people, when you just do something in the world with your life. So please share this on your social media if you can. Thank you, and have a bloody brilliant day wherever you are in the world. Gracias, adios.
Talks to death every day.
Yeah. It's true.
With recreational drugs, you need to know. I don't think most things shouldn't be illegal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think everything should be basically legal, and you have to be educated and understand what you're getting into. Because I just don't want to be told that I can't do that.
Yeah.
Just because you think so. And what do you know? We have all these politicians in the states that are heavy religious people, and they get elected, and then they make these decisions, and nobody listens to the other side. It's all red versus blue, Democrat, Republican, Hillary, Trump, and it's just this nasty mess of divisiveness instead of coming together, and we're all fucking on this little rock in endless space, and let's try to make it a little bit better for next time.
Yeah, make it better, yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on politics for America, or do you even get involved in that kind of stuff, or at home?
Yeah, I just don't really get involved with it, to be honest.
Why is that?
I might agree with what you were just saying, and I'd rather it just work together to like try and make it a better place. And
how do you think that can be accomplished?
I don't know, and I've never thought about it, but I think the way it is, it's not just going to change because it is red versus blue, and that's the way it is. It can't just change the way a country is run or the world is run.
Yeah, it's got to be grassroots, in my opinion. It has to be a grassroots kind of thing where everybody stops splitting themselves up. And that's what you get when you were talking about traveling, is that you realize that other people are... It's not everything scary out there.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of in
on
this
together. And it's not them and us either. It's not red versus blue. Like you could be mates with somebody who has different opinions and thoughts.
And that's okay. And that's beautiful.
It's better.
I don't want everybody to be the same.
Yeah,
oh,
fuck that.
How boring
is that?
How about a yes man? You ever been around one of those people that just says, like, it just agrees with everything you say? You're like, good God, man. Can we talk about something? Can we have some kind of level of discourse where it can still be beneficial for both of us, but we can disagree on something? Fuck, man. All you do is say yes to everything I talk about or everything the group talks about, and it's so fucking obnoxious and boring. So I like that people are different. That brings a little bit of spunk to the universe and to your life. Ugh, everybody being the same. But where it comes an issue is you just totally close off from that other
side.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know, man.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I got an older sister. She lives in Seattle.
Did you
guys visit Seattle, right?
Yeah, we did actually.
Yeah.
Did she ever travel and stuff?
No, she had a kid at a really young age. Really young, it's 19.
Yeah.
But it was in like 15, but she had a kid at a young age with, how do I explain without sounding like a complete asshole? He just wasn't ready to have a kid.
Right.
So you get these situations where my sister didn't have the chance to go out and
have these opportunities.
What about you? You have brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers and a sister, yeah.
Two brothers and a sister. Did they travel?
Not as extensively as I have.
Mm.
But they have done travel stints. No, but not so much. Like, it's always been a bit like in between uni or like a summer or something. But my brother moved to California, so that was a big step. But how old's your niece or nephew now then?
Nephew? Oh, they're fucking beautiful.
How old are they?
There's
more?
It's one. Yeah, one is 10 years old right now. He's a fucking... I think about him and just I want to learn more from him. And yeah. I want to figure out his thought process, because he's so sweet and so beautiful, and the way that he interacts with, so he has a kind of a stepsister situation, and just the way he interacts with her, and then how he can be around adults at the same time. It's just like, how does somebody that came from a single mom situation, and there was a lot of yelling, and he's seen so much yelling and screaming and fighting, and still come out as this beautiful, gentle being. And so he's just a super athletic, smart, funny, like, I can go and hang out with him for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'm not hanging out with a 10-year-old. I'm hanging out with my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not hanging out with my nephew. I'm hanging out with my buddy.
Mature.
Yeah, he's there, and we go do fun stuff together. And I enjoy watching the wheels turn in his head when I ask him questions about stuff, or when he's learning something new. It's just so interesting to watch a person that will go through struggle and pain and happiness and love and all the other characteristics of being human, and watching that kind of thing develop from an outsider's perspective, because I'm there, but I'm not there, you know?
Yeah, he's not growing up in your house.
Yeah, when you're so close to a project, you don't really see it for a lot of the things out there. So he's a magnificent person.
How often do you see him, would you say? Do you go there, or do they
It's a little bit. I probably see him about 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And that's part of my plan was to, when I get back to the States, is go hang out with my sister and my nephew for a week or two.
Yeah,
and just hang out with them, because every time I go there, I'm on vacation and I have other shit going on in my head. And just want to get there, and after the first couple days subsides, then just kind of be there.
Be with him, yeah.
And there's just something so fulfilling about being around a fucking kid like that.
A little legend.
Yeah, you're just... And I feel like most kids are like that. Most kids are just... I don't know. He's just great. And to try to relate that to my life, as when I start complaining or feeling sorry for myself, like, my fucking 10-year-old nephew has seen all this shit, and he still has a positive outlook on things. What is going on in my fucking head where I'm having a pity party, and, man, my life is so hard.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the positives or the silver linings of the situation, I would just be so, like, everything's negative right now. And that negative train has so much momentum so fast. And so watching a kid like that that's been through so much is just a lot of... very interesting to be around. Very interesting.
Do you think that he will travel when he gets home?
I have no idea, but I will definitely...
Would you encourage him to do it?
I would encourage everybody to do to travel.
Because that's what I was saying to Jake earlier. Well, you were saying in Utah, nobody does it. Like, none of your family have really done it. And, like, no one you know is ever going to quit their job or whatever.
Mm.
But that's, like, it's not... And, well, we were saying it as well, actually, about, like, just by your nephew looking up to you, which he would do, even if you don't realise it.
Mm.
He'll see, like, your trip you've done, not necessarily now, but, like, in 5 years, he'll be asking you questions. Well, you went over to Colombia and you did this, that.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, oh, that sounds so cool. And he'll see the way you speak about it, which will be, like, positively, and, like, with probably with a smile on your face. And, like, it plants little seeds in his head to, like, go and do that sort of stuff.
Which
his mum might not want him to do, but, however, if she wants him to be happy, then that could make him happy. It might not, but it could.
How many things have we done that our mom didn't want us to?
Yeah, exactly, but that's part of growing up, isn't it? And for the, but I was saying to Jake, like, how many people you can, like, inspire from Utah to just go travel now, like, in your community, there might be people, like, for example, I don't know if you're religious, but in a church, or, like, who went to your primary school, if you have a small, close town or something like that, and it can, like, change the culture of the small-mindedness, which I perceive you to be talking about.
So. Yeah, it's pretty rare. So if you were to talk to a couple 15-year-old kids, what would you tell them about traveling? What would you...
I would tell them to go and listen to the More Than Backpacking podcast.
Nice little plug. No, I would tell them they have to go and travel or try it. Don't decide before you try. And just because it can expose their mind. And it's, you don't really need to say the benefits as such. Like, to be honest, you could sell it probably by them the photos and stuff. But then, like we were saying, the people you meet is when you go on the trip and you meet the people and you think, oh, we made good friends with them. Well, like, they're interesting people. They're like, you're living the benefit, aren't you? When, like, right now, like, I'm enjoying talking to you after the weekend we've had on the Caribbean island.
Yeah, how much time have we spent together? How much time have we actually sat down and talked?
Yeah. But, like, it's like you're living the experience. But, like, I've got a 14-year-old brother.
Mm. Okay.
So, like, and it's hard for me to not be at home with him, say. But, like, if I was just at home, I'd just be living like most people do at home. And it's not, like, the best example for him, where it's not that he should be going and doing this exact trip for this exact amount of time and doing everything that I've done and will do. But it's, like, exposing him to something different and something other than just what he knows at the moment as a 14-year-old boy in Essex, which is our town. And like other people that he might be around who don't do like this traveling, like, so he can be exposed. So that's what I think, living it is what you have to do, especially if somebody's looking up to you. Like, I know, like, your nephew would to you and my brother does to me. So
just exposing them to the idea of it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Because travel, not everyone likes traveling.
No, and that's okay.
So yeah, and it's fine. Cool. That's why a lot of people might see that I'm away for so long, or encourage people to travel and say, oh, but like, I don't like that. But like, you can't decide before you try it. Just try it. Like, you only need to go for a week. Like, see how many people you meet in a week. See how many good things you do in a week. How many good conversations, whatever.
How many bad things happen. How many shitty things happen that you weren't expecting. And then you overcome those or find a different route. And then you meet these, like, cool people through that. Like, a shitty situation.
And then you laugh about it.
And then you realize you're okay.
Exactly.
Everything, for the most part, you're going to be okay.
And, But I mean, like you said, try like a pottery class, painting class. Like, do try something like that. Like, I've never tried that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wouldn't enjoy it.
No.
In fact, I think I would enjoy it.
Yeah, same.
But that's just like being optimistic and open. So, like, trying new things, really. But some people be like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are so closed off? Sometimes.
I don't know. Maybe they lack confidence and worry about what people will say about them when they try something.
Yeah, I guess, why does that matter? Why do you think it matters so much what other people think?
I don't know, but it's a big question. Like, because it's huge. Loads of people don't do stuff because they're scared of what other people think. Like a podcast. Like, really. They're just scared of being judged. Probably because they're judging others. Probably.
Or, yeah, I mean, from what I've... My experience is people don't think about you as much as you think they do.
Nowhere near.
People don't care about it.
And,
so,
even if they make fun or something in the moment...
It's all a jest.
Like, and an hour later, they really don't give a shit. And
but you might hold on to that thing.
Yeah, but, like, you need to be aware that, like, people will make fun of you and then... Or whatever.
I think there's a lot to that. You can't laugh. I can't remember where I heard it, but it said, laugh and the world laughs with you, cry and you cry alone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's true.
Taking things in stride, laughing. If you do something silly or something stupid or say something dumb, accept it, laugh. That's how people get over that situation more than the person that freaks out and storms off.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because really, you're just doing it, like you said, by yourself.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is probably still laughing.
Yeah, they're laughing at you, and then that situation will subside and somebody else will, like, do something silly or something that will happen, and
you go again.
It's just that I think it's more taking things a little bit less seriously and being more accepting of the moment and what is happening. And because if you hold yourself and tie yourself off and, like, oh man, I need to do this, and somebody's gonna laugh at me if I do that, it's like, who fucking cares? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares, yeah.
Nobody thinks about you as much as you think they do. So just do something.
That's what I think.
Do something. If there's anything that I could say, it's do something.
Yeah.
Do something new. Do something different. Do something that will
challenge you and make you think differently, and that's how you get the fulfillment that you need.
Kick.
That little boost that everybody's looking for through whatever. And it'll be a long-lasting kick. It won't be a, oh, hey, there's what The Rock is doing, that's nice, and then move on to the next thing. It'll be a, this is what I learned through pottery. This is what I learned through my marathon training. Because it's not just the marathon training, and then life stops there, and you didn't learn anything else out of it. You learn maybe how you can push yourself differently, maybe different things on how you carry your breath, and how much that matters when you're running, or how much that matters when you're doing an exercise, and it doesn't stop there. You can take it with you to other places.
Yeah, it's just a vehicle, isn't it, to like progress.
That's exactly a great way to put it.
Like traveling is as well.
Yeah.
It's the vehicle to grow and to learn.
Yeah, it's just a way to get things done. It's another tool that people can use to move forward and get something accomplished. I don't know what the recipe is for a person to be happy and then everything's hunky-dory and forever, but I don't think being happy is the goal of life either. I don't. I think because what does happiness mean? What makes me happy sitting down and watching TV makes me happy now, but 2 days from or tomorrow when I was like, fuck, I should have done this and this and this, and now I feel sad. So I don't... The goal is not to be a happy person. The goal is to be a challenged person and moving yourself. And that's where you get the fulfillment. That's where you get there. It's not being happy. I'm not happy sitting on a bus for 7 hours. But what do I get to do on this bus for 7 hours? Would I have ever done this without this bus for 7 hours?
Yeah, no. Exactly. Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, that's like I was saying, I think to Ryan as well at the start. He was like, 7 hours or whatever. And I think the average backpacker is so easy to moan about that 7 hours. But, like, I honestly enjoy these travel days, say, because I see this as, like, the journey to the destination. It's like the progress in life. Like, I'm getting closer to Cartagena, and this is part of... If you want to go backpacking, you have to do this. You don't just get to Cartagena. You don't just get to Colombia. You have to fly somewhere. You have to get to the airport. Like, I love that bit because it's all part of getting somewhere. And then when you get somewhere, it's all about the journey of getting to know somewhere and doing the best things there, meeting the people there. So, like, it's almost what you were saying about being challenged. This is, like, the challenge now, isn't it? Like, what do? Do you sleep? Do you, like, talk to people? Do you read? Do you do, like...
Find out a little bit about yourself,
too.
Yeah,
find you. Do you sit there, stare out the window and think and see what happens?
That's one of my favorite questions to ask somebody. Like, if they had a long flight, it's like, what do you like to do on flights?
Yeah.
Because you can find out a lot about a person by what they do on a flight. Do they listen to a podcast? Do they write? Do they read? Do they just look out of a window? Yeah. And that tells you a lot about a person. And those are good avenues to take somebody down. Or is it somebody that they wanted to watch a movie or something?
Yeah.
And I can ask questions about the movie. And then you find out more about who they are. And that's the part of the beauty of that 7-hour bus ride is... Nowhere to go.
Nothing.
Yelling, being upset will not get this bus to move any fucking faster than it is right now. What are you gonna do to pass the time? What are you gonna do? And that's.
What do you normally do?
It's a great question. It changes. If I don't get too car sick, I like to read.
Yeah.
I found a new affinity for reading.
Since
I started backpacking, crushed. Not crushed, but I moved through 5 books in 3 weeks.
Really? God, blimey, that's good. Do you carry 5 books with you, or do you?
No,
do you
I was just like fucking. And I had no idea what I was reading when I first started.
But where do you get? Have you right now?
Book exchange.
Oh, you book exchange. Yeah. Okay.
Or I'll get it from people like Mads and Emma. We're traveling with, and then they just were like, "This book's good," and I started reading it. And the first book I received was from Colin, our buddy, and then I learned so much.
And what book was it? Just that
was
interesting.
It was Killers of the Flower Moon. So it was about the Native Americans. They had a certain tribe got moved and kicked out of their homeland. Sad story in and of itself. But where they were moved to by the U.S. government, actually had a shit ton of oil.
Oh, really?
So they became like the most rich people per capita in the world.
Wow.
And it just goes through how they were murdered for their money, and how like the government kind of made it so they couldn't spend it how they wanted, and it was just so interesting for me to learn. And I was like, if I would have looked at this book just at home, I never would have read it.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, that's interesting, and then toss it to the side. But because I had a fucking 5-hour bus ride, because I was sitting on a beach or sitting in the middle of a jungle with nothing to do, I'm reading this book. And what my thought was is that I wanted to start, not necessarily like book report, but like while I'm reading, I want to write what I'm feeling sometimes.
Yeah.
And get it out there. And then, so instead of just that book that I have this collection of my thoughts on the book.
Yeah.
Then I can go back to those. It'll take me longer to finish the book, but that's not the purpose. The purpose isn't to read the book as fast as I can. The purpose is to enjoy it and learn something
new. It's not a numbers game.
Yeah, so that's...
Have you started that then?
That book?
No, have you started writing that?
No, my plan is to do that right now because I'm reading a book about the Chicago Police Department out of Illinois, and so it's a bunch of little excerpts of just everyday things that happen to the people that are in the street that are detectives. And I've had a negative...
What happened to police?
Yeah, like their experiences, like some of the stories they have. And my perception on police has kind of been jaded because I am a stoner, and I do like doing recreational drugs, and I feel like that's the man that's against me.
Yeah.
When in actuality, these guys are fucking amazing people that are doing something that I could never do, and somebody has to do this job. And reading those stories puts in perspective how I can have a little bit more sympathy and a little bit more empathy towards a police officer that might have made a really terrible mistake. And yeah, he fucked up. But what pushed him to that point? And they'll talk about how they're always on edge, and they have to be. It's a survival technique. They, when they're walking up to a car, they always feel like this person is going to be the person that's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And so I don't think about those things. So I want to start doing that with the book, but it's heavy, man. There's a lot of things on there that are hard for me to digest because I've never seen those things and I've never had to deal with those things.
So it's hard for you to actually understand?
No, it's not hard to understand, but like it just puts me in a very high emotional state. Like, I put myself in their shoes and I try to put myself where they are, and I'm like, fuck, man, that's they'll be talking about, like, raping a bunch of kids. Yeah. Like they caught some guy doing that, and then it came back to my nephew. I was like, what if I were in that situation?
Yeah.
And now I don't have that like super negative feeling towards a police officer. I feel like this is just somebody that has probably the worst job on the planet because nobody likes you. The pay isn't that great, and you see the bottom of the human society every day, and that sort of becomes your perception because that's what you're exposed to every day. So I would really like to start writing out what I'm feeling when I do that. Maybe that'll help the book go by easier, because like you were saying, when you get your thoughts out, then I can just, it's on paper, and then I can start moving through it. Do you read? Do you read pretty often? Or I guess, what do you like to do on long bus rides or plane rides?
On my bus rides, I probably listen to podcasts. If I've downloaded enough. I still haven't figured out if a podcast is downloaded or what. Like, to be honest, I don't know. But I just let it play, because normally when I press pause and press play, and then I've got no Wi-Fi and it cuts out.
Yeah.
So I even when I'm not up for a podcast, I'll put on like a short one, and you always learn something. Like, they're just so good. I love it. And generally I tend not to read, because I would get seasick.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't do it that often, but yeah.
And then sometimes I listen to music, or like try and talk to people or whatever, depending on the clientele.
What kind of podcast do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of business and personal development type podcasts.
Mm.
I've got one for you, actually. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
It's like personal development, but they go like quite deep into like why we do what we do and stuff like that. They're two American guys. And
what do you get out of those? Or what do you like?
I just always feel like I learn something. Oh, these guys, I love it, because they're like an hour and a half long sometimes.
Mm.
And that isn't actually quite that long, is it? Them Joe Rogan ones are like three hours long sometimes.
3 hours, and I love every second of them. I love
I need to get into
two and a half hours in when they're talking about stuff, because you can see that the microphone doesn't exist anymore to them. There's not,
they
not
just
the
go
interview.
Yeah.
They're just
two
humans talking. And my favorite part is that they say stuff that sounds stupid sometimes. And I say a lot of things that sound stupid, so it's relatable. And because that happens when you're in open conversation. You might say something that's stupid, or that you look back and you're like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have done it that way. But that's another fucking thing for you to learn and to do. So I mean, that I really enjoy those. So for the personal growth podcast, have you always had a thirst for, have you, like, since you were younger, since like this, for strive to improve?
And
Pretty much.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed it. I've always just understood it and got it and, like, relate to it and want to do it. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. My dad exposed me to it, I think.
Mm. How so?
Because, well, I'm into business, and a lot of the people you follow in business are aware and into this personal development type thing. And I think maybe, like, yoga people would be into it in terms of, like, how you act. It just might be a bit different, from a different angle, because it's not to, like, make money as such. It's more to, like, become a better person. But I don't know. I say I'm addicted to growth. Like, I just love it. And I love moving forward, like what we were saying. And then when you always learn something from these podcasts, and you feel like you're in the room with them, don't you? Because they're between my ears, basically, when you're on a podcast.
Yeah.
So you're literally responding to the questions or the conversation. But they're good. They go pretty deep into some topics, which is good.
I definitely like. I prefer those. I like the free form conversation. I like the introspective thought, and that goes into any aspect of a person. I enjoy people that think about why they do things and think about some of the more difficult questions in life. And that's where I have a disconnection with religious people, is that they're always so sure about what the fuck happens with life or why we're here. That just drives me fucking crazy, because you have no idea the ignorance of you to think that this religion that is, at most, for most religions, 2,500 years old, for you to have the fucking audacity to think you figured it out when we've been having, in this human form, Homo sapiens for 500,000 years. So does that mean the first 475,000 years were wrong? Are you fucking kidding me? Or 499,700, whatever the fuck it is. Are you telling me that those people were wrong, and then you just figured it out, and that's easy now. I know what happens after I die. I know why I'm here. It's because God put me here, and God has a plan. And that takes out so much thought, and it takes away from you trying to figure out what you think, and instead of being told what you think. And that's where I have a disconnection with the religious people. And I don't know if you're religious or not, but I don't.
Yeah, I want to be a priest.
Oh, you look like one. You look like you'd want to be a priest. I don't know why.
It's belief, though,
people,
isn't it? It's belief. That's, if you believe something, it's like if you believe your football team is the best.
Yeah.
Or football, like, it's something to believe in. It's easy.
It's like, and then there's a group of people behind you that think the same thing.
Yeah, well, like in the community, people like to be part of the community. Yeah. You're comfortable and you feel welcomed and wanted. I am a Catholic, by the way. But,
me too.
But yeah.
Me too. I was an altar boy.
Yeah, same.
There was.
But like the belief. That's what I like. If you believe in something, it's like, because religion is like world renowned. It's like famous. People accept. If you believe in the religion, if you believe in something like that, and then you could believe in anything, but it's like people will be like, why do you, people accept that I believe in God, because a lot of people do, but really, I could say, I believe in myself, and like, which is a lot of people don't believe in. They don't believe in themselves and their potential and their capabilities. But if you put all that belief into yourself, into what that thing, whether it's religion or whatever, religion for example, like, think how strong that belief is. But like, and you can put that into yourself. And I think, I believe
hey?
That like belief in yourself and having the belief that you can do something goes such a long way in terms of actually being able to do it.
Yeah.
And but it's like, you don't have the excuse. People will make fun of you if you say, well, I believe in myself, like this is my belief almost. And I know it's a bit different, but
no, it's
like, do you know what I mean, in terms of like how much more you could do if you believe, so
instead
that
of
if you put
putting all
the
power in
somebody
hands.
Yeah, not even like God though, like it's like about, it's just like the accept, it's accepted to believe in a, like to have a faith or whatever, and like to believe in something. But like if you put that towards you, you could like just push yourself more. But it's like different, isn't it? It's a bit I don't even know how to explain it, but it's not, it's like the excuse. Like, people need an excuse to do something. Like, if you're like, fuck this, I'm quitting my job because my wife died, people accept that because that's a fair enough excuse. Like, oh yeah, okay, his wife died, he deserves, he can do that, fuck it. But if you're just quitting your job, like, you're like, why are you gonna do that? That's just so like unsafe. Like, but the excuse isn't big enough, and he probably
would have.
Yeah, for them. And,
they get to decide if the excuse is big enough.
Yeah,
or not.
But then people don't do it because they don't feel like they have a worthy enough excuse for them either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is similar, you don't believe in yourself because you don't believe that it's a worthy enough excuse from their perspective. Like,
yeah, I don't know, man. The whole putting power in someone else's hands about things that you do. I mean, even in kind of Eastern culture or Eastern, like, you see a lot of girls in the States that are like fake spiritual. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll, it's like, believe in yourself, you can do anything, kind of stuff on Instagram. And then you're just like, oh God, you're so fucking.
No, so like, I
fake.
That's very common in this, but talk is cheap. I always say, like, in America, like, just, and I've learned it, I've learned a lot, like, through meeting Americans, through meeting non-Americans, and seeing, like, the difference. And, like, it's just, it's easy to be like, rah, rah.
Oh,
basically.
It's so easy. But then you see these girls that are like having some severe like insecurity issues, but then they're out there and they're pretty girls or in shape, whatever, and but then they have these deep-seated insecurities because they feel like they need that validation from you to get that like.
Yes.
They're, well, I'm doing this for you. And when you get into the like the Eastern spiritual guide, there's a girl I used to work with that would like face a certain direction and have like these plants and would like have these beads that they would rub on, and she would be like, this is my money tree, this is, this direction helps me like make money or whatever. And I just wanted to go up to her and just be like, no, you're just fucking good at what you do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what direction, you can be upside down, just stop putting so much into these things that are arbitrary. They just, it doesn't matter where the fuck you put a tree, you're just good at what you do. Look back in the mirror and just say, yeah, I'm good at what I do. Stop putting it out somewhere else. You work your ass off. This is you. And that's what I think people are. That's what I think God is. That's what my belief is. As people, it's your, that your ability to have thought is God in its own way.
Yeah.
The ability to create life, to end life, to get new situations. It's everything that most people that have thought, they are God, but they want to put it on a pedestal for some reason and make it just out of reach a little bit. But when I die, then I'll get there, and then everything's hunky-dory, and I get my own planet with God knows like everything that I've ever wished for. And and it's just like, why wait? What are you waiting for? Do all that stuff now.
Yeah,
achieve those things, push yourself. But it's just easy. And when we're talking about doing things in a community, that's what I think people get out of church so much. I think it's less of God and less of like the promise of whatever happens after you die. And something about 100 people sitting in a room together and all having kind of the same goal or the same thought process of that is church to me. And that's okay. And that's why I think people enjoy church so much. It's not so much about the God and spiritual side, it's that they're with a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just a fucking random kid from America wandering through life.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. On this little ball of rock.
going
not
800.
What the fuck we're doing.
No. Hey, who the fuck? Who knows what we're doing? Who knows what's right? You can take a nihilistic approach and say that whatever we do doesn't matter. You might be right. In the grand scale of the universe and Earth in general, what you do for 75 years on it or 80 years doesn't really matter that much. But I disagree with that. That's not my thinking.
What, so, just quickly.
Yeah.
You know when you went to college?
Yeah.
So, like, Jake was saying the other day that he would play in front of, like, your home ground. Wait, you went to play the same team as Jake
yes.
at school?
Yes.
That's where you met, right?
No, we met in high school.
Okay. But, like, your home ground had, like, 30,000 people watching or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. That is so sick.
Yeah, you have to ask Jake more about that. I stood on the sidelines. I enjoyed watching it from the sidelines. It was a lot of fun. Got to go to a lot of cool places. Went to USC, went to Wisconsin, went to these big fucking schools, and that energy's crazy, dude.
Yeah, well, I went to a USC match last summer. The
yeah.
Coliseum.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts.
Crazy.
And so much, like, walking through the halls, like, to go out onto the field. That was just the energy that you feel of all these fucking people.
It's, you know, like in England, we don't have college sports like that. College sport is like a recreational thing to do to try and meet friends, and it's a social thing.
Yeah.
Because if basically soccer's the big sport, so if you're that good at soccer, you leave school at age 16 and you go full time with the club. They give you a 2-year youth contract, and then at 18 they decide if they want to give you a professional contract. And if they don't, then you have to figure it out and either find another club, which is probably going to be like not as big a club, or you do whatever. And it's like, it's a bit similar to say all these college students think they're going to make the NFL or whatever, and then they're stuck. But like, at least they got a degree, say, whether it was a worthy degree or whether they went to class, I don't know. Yeah,
they got it. Yeah.
But like, people leaving school at 16 thinking they're going to be a pro soccer player, like, they get given everything from a young age. Like, they miss school when they're like 10 to go and play for a tournament in Madrid or whatever.
How does that usually turn out for them?
Oh, like, barely anyone makes it.
Yeah.
Like, because there's some, especially now in the Premier League in England, like the main league, so there's so much money which buys foreign players and gives them £500,000 a week.
Ooh.
It's like a 18-year-old from London isn't gonna beat them. There's like too much pressure on them. So yeah, that's what I was saying. But like, so playing in front of like 30,000-40,000 people, like as a college student, it's like insane to us. That's like the pros do that.
And that's not a big school.
I know, yeah. Well, that's
Michigan,
Jake was saying like 90,000. Yeah.
Some people have like 108,000 seat stadium, and they're packed to the brim every Saturday.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit is fucking crazy. That feeling that those guys must have is, because they're such young kids.
They're just babies, aren't they?
Just little kids. I mean, you're 19 years old and you have 108,000 people staring at you,
watching your every move.
Yeah. 216,000 eyes on what you're doing. Think about that. And then you're just, and there's so much pressure. And then you either get it or you don't. And the electricity that's in the air, and the, yeah, that the college sports are something else. And then you guys, so you have the club, and then you turn 18, and then you can decide, or you have the option to go professional or not, depending on how good you are. What do a lot of the kids who don't go professional do after that?
So, like, they're either fucked and they're like in the world, they have to try and find a job, try and see if they can
with
get
no
more education, see what they can do. They might try and make it with a club in like a lower league where they can still play professional or like whatever. It's like, it's a big thing that they're 18, not educated, and like for the past 10 years they've been told that they're going to be a pro footballer. But it's so like that it's almost like a big issue at the moment to try and make sure they're educated and stuff.
So what is the solution to that? You delay the ability to like,
no, it's just
become
like
a professional, or what do you think the solution is?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not selling them the dream from like 10 years old. That's one thing to do.
What do you mean?
Like, so when they're 10, they've got it all, like, they've got physios, they've got all, like, the gear that the pros wear, like, the new boots if they want it, and all stuff like that. But I mean, at 16, they're going to leave because the club pays, like, they could be the next Messi. You know who Messi is, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. So they could be the next Messi. So the club wants them at 16. Like, Messi probably got a pro contract when he was 16, 17. So just in case there's the one Messi, they get them at their club, but for every one who gets that pro contract, there's like 10 others who are out on the street. Yeah.
Have you known anybody to get turned down at 18?
My cousin did, yeah. My cousin. He went and played like different teams. He played different countries, went and played a little bit. He's a teacher now.
No shit.
Yeah, so he's done well. He's got an education. I mean, a lot of it comes down to your parents, if they can... like support you, and also some parents they like think they make it as a pro before the child has, if you know what I mean.
Oh god.
Which
isn't
is
that,
like yeah.
That makes me sick, man.
But I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, dude, that the parents, that's a different breed when you come into a higher level of competition.
But who like how many make it into the NFL from college?
Well, less than 1%, something
yeah,
like that.
It's crazy.
So for Jake to make it, that's fucking hard, man. For somebody to make it into the pros and make money is fucking difficult.
What, did he make it? Did he get drafted?
He didn't get drafted, but he played for Packers for their summer camp, and then he got to last cuts.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are like, oh, you made it to... You didn't even make the team. It's like... I don't think you fucking understand the caliber of athlete that is on an NFL team.
Yeah.
For people to put their noses up at it, but...
And, yeah, like, you're thinking he's... Like, he was, what, like, 21, 22?
He was 20... But, he was 22 at the time?
Yeah. I mean, you got, like, experienced professionals, seasoned pros...
Yeah.
Who, like, you're going to be competing against. It's not like you can just walk into a team, like, when you're 18 and something.
Yeah, he did that, and then... so he got cut there, and then... became a linebacker in the Canadian Football League for a year.
Oh, was he?
And then retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, I think he had a lot of body issues, like his ankles fucked up and his knee and shit.
Yeah.
Which is very fucking common.
Yeah.
The way that some of these guys play, I will have no idea.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's gotta be something, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
That's sick, I didn't know.
Yeah, you should talk to him about it. He's very humble about it, though. He'll probably deflect and then ask you a question about your whatever you're doing. So you got to pry a little bit. You got to dig. He'll open up, and he'll talk about it, talk about the experience he had and the people he met. And he said most of those professional guys are so fucking cool.
Yeah.
They've just made it. They realize you don't need to be a dick anymore or have to be a dick at all when you're at that level because... You just are so aware of how good you are, and you don't need to be a dick. Yeah, something good to ask him, though.
All right.
Fuck me.
Why not? 26.
Having fun, baby. About to do it again.
All right, so I end the podcast on three questions.
Yeah.
First question is, what is your most favorite place that you've visited
thus far?
So let's call it on this trip. Yeah, that's fun. Mm. I mean, it could be in the US if you want. No, outside the US.
Outside the US. Okay. Probably El Valle de Anton in Panama. Inside that ancient extinct volcano. Something in that area. Just everywhere you look, you're like, fuck, I'm in a goddamn volcano right now. And it was so beautiful. And we were just walking around the town and just walking and looking at all this amazing landscape, and then you see the locals there and see how people are living, and it was so interesting to me inside of an extinct volcano. Which is probably my favorite so far.
Where is that?
El Valle de Anton. It's
didn't even know about that.
Let's say Panama City is here, it's just up here in the Right.
It's like a 45-minute bus ride. Or no. Yeah, 45-minute bus ride from Santa Clara or San Carlos. San Carlos. No.
Let's see. Alright, so do you think that traveling has changed your perspective on life? In a sentence or two?
Yes, or it has.
Yeah.
Why?
It can be like the obvious answer that most people do, despite you having different thoughts to your average person as well, which is fine.
I like the microcosm of life inside traveling. Friendship, challenging, not everything's gonna go your way. How are you gonna deal with it? How are you gonna make the best of a situation? What are you gonna do to make it improve? How can you make it improve? And all of those things that are within traveling and stuff that you have to do on a daily basis is in a lot of people's lives, and stuff that you'll never unlearn these tools.
Yeah.
It'll always be there. Even 60 years down the road, you will still have a PCU that was on a bus to fucking anywhere you want to go. You'll always have that feeling or that challenge that something didn't go your way, the plane didn't take off when you wanted it to. How are you going to deal with it? What can you do? If nothing,
accept it.
And what are you going to do next time? And what are you going to do in the meantime?
Yeah.
Kick your feet up, relax.
Pura vida.
Uh-huh.
Okay, last question is, do you listen to podcasts?
Yes.
And if so, which one would you recommend for both of my listeners? Mum, Dad, you listening? You can listen to this.
I mean, the obvious is always Joe Rogan Experience. I mean, just if you want to get a basis for everything, look at the details of what goes into the podcast. And if it's something that you didn't think you'd be interested in, try it out. Give it a listen. Or there's Bill Burr podcast. Fucking hilarious. Bill Burr.
Is that a person?
Yeah, it's the Monday morning podcast. He's fucking hilarious. He just has a lot of good insight.
Is it called the Monday Morning Podcast?
The Monday Morning Podcast.
It's quite a good name, isn't it? Especially if it's a comedy.
Yeah, so he's great. There's also Aubrey Marcus has a really good podcast. I don't know if you ever listened to him, but he is the you'd really like him, actually. He's the CEO of a supplement company that is basically into the same progression and growth. And
what's the name of the company?
It's called On It.
On It.
O-N-N-I-T. They do supplements, and something that you could definitely check out. So he's the CEO of the company, and he does a lot of psychedelics and personal growth stuff through that way. But then he also has his business, and they talk about the challenges he faces as a person that does all these psychological or psychedelic experiences where you feel like everybody's connected and one and love and whatever. But then there's the flip side of the coin where it's production and providing and stuff like that. So
you'd
really like that one.
Yeah, that sounds
cool. Those are the three I would say. Or Chris Ryan. Dr. Chris Ryan.
You listen to a lot of podcasts.
Try to get around, man.
Traveler.
Yeah.
Alright. Pura vida. That'll do for today. Thank you, Lars.
Much love.
Hello everyone, welcome to the More Than Backpacking Podcast. My name is Damon O'Neill and this is episode number 15. Today is another golden episode with Lars Gunderson, and after he corrected me after the last episode, which was part one with Lars, that his surname is Gunderson and not Gunnarsson, so I must apologise for Lars for my mistake. Anyway, in the last episode we spoke deep about doing something in life and not just sitting on your ass complaining, and Lars had some strong thoughts about this, and in this episode we talk more about that and why people don't do anything. Maybe it's because they care if they're being judged by others. But really, do these people care? It would be great to see what you think about this. Do people care about what you do, even if they do mock you for 1 second on social media or something like that? We also talk about being a role model to younger people and what we would tell them about travelling, which is ironic because I have a 14-year-old brother and Lars has a young nephew as well who we are both role models for. I've re-listened to this episode, and when I did so, I was absolutely loving it, so I hope you love it as much as I did. I was learning so much from an intelligent guy who's on a great path of personal development himself, And we also had a great laugh as well. So I hope you enjoy part two of this episode and this conversation with Lars Gundersen.